Hello everyone, my name's Pete McAvoy and I'm a volunteer with Greater Manchester Police. I'm based in the Cyber Crime Unit, which is part of the Major Crime Division of the Police. My role within GMP is to give advice and guidance to people on how to stay safe from scams and scammers, and it's my pleasure to be here today. I will be covering several topics, many of which are relevant to users of landlines, smartphones and computers. So, the first thing I want to tell you about is something called phishing, which is spelled P-H-I-S-H. This is where you are contacted by text, email or a phone call from someone saying they are representatives from a government department or the local authority. They are not. These agencies will always write you a letter. Hang up and do not respond in any way. Number spoofing. This is where the caller uses a device which allows them to input any phone number they wish to trick you into believing the call is local, when in fact it is most probably coming from overseas. It's likely that if you received a call from someone abroad, you would be suspicious and hang up. If they say they are from a government agency, etc., as I said before, you must hang up because you now know it's a hoax. Banking scams. This is where you get a call from someone saying they are from your bank and your account has become unsafe. It has not become unsafe. You must tell the caller you will hang up as you wish to contact your bank directly to confirm there is an issue. Do not be persuaded by the caller to do otherwise. They will try to assure you that they are the bank, but they are not. If it is actually your bank, because at times your bank will contact you, but I will cover that shortly. If it is your bank, then they will not mind you saying that you will hang up and contact them yourself. The number that you would ring for your bank is 0345 number, which is printed on the back of your card. As an alternative, you can also contact them on 159 and select the option for your bank. One bit of advice is worth you remembering, which is to wait 5 minutes. If you have decided to phone your bank, then wait at least 5 minutes before you make that call if you're using the same handset, because these people are still on the line. They put a recorded dial tone and ringtone on the line, and once they answer, they will announce that they are from whichever agency they rang that rang you, when in actual fact, it is the same set of criminals. Alternatively, use another phone if you have one. So hang up and wait for at least 5 minutes before you make that call. Text messages. You receive a text message saying it is from the post office or the Royal Mail, and you have to pay a small sum of money to ensure a package they have for you will be delivered, but the postage paid by the sender is less than it should be. Ask yourself if you are expecting a delivery, and if not, you know it is false. If you are, then hang up and contact the post office yourself and ask them. Don't forget, wait for 5 minutes. Also, ask yourself where the post office got your phone number from. Do not click on the link in the message, as that is where you will be asked to give your bank details. It is advisable that you forward that text to 7726. WhatsApp messages. This is where you receive a text message from someone saying they have lost their phone, and as you are their parent, family, friend, they need your help. Usually, they need money to replace the phone. They will not identify themselves. They would say something like, "Hi, this is your eldest and I've lost my phone." If it was, then they would give their name, but do not reply. Delete the message and block the number. If you are still unsure, then contact your eldest and ask if they have tried to contact you. Emails. You might receive an email from a well-known company saying you have fallen behind with your payments. Ask yourself if you have an account with that company. If you don't, then delete the email without taking any action. If you do have an account with them, it's likely you pay it by direct debit, so there shouldn't be a problem. If you do have an account and are unsure, contact the company directly by phone and ask them. Social media. If you subscribe to social media, most often Facebook, then be very careful about sharing personal information. You should never share with people you don't know. If you are part of a group who you know well, perhaps family and close friends, then they will know all about you, so it won't be an issue and such personal details will never be asked for. Always be very wary. Passwords. Be very careful when creating passwords. Try not to use years of birth, pet names, or anything related to your life. Choose something completely off the wall. I'm suggesting colour television. If you squeeze those two words together, then that makes up 15 characters, which is an advisable length. However, I write it differently, as follows. Uppercase C, zero instead of an O, uppercase L rather than a lowercase L, 3 instead of an E, an exclamation mark instead of an I, and a 5 to replace an S. All the other letters can remain the same. You can use your own versions, of course, but that combination is what I recommend whenever you create or replace your passwords. Online shopping. Many people use this, and in the main, it works out fine. But before going ahead, it is worth researching the provider to ensure that they are reputable and the article itself is what it is described as. This can be done using Google and review sites such as Trustpilot. Once you are sure about the seller and goods, then go ahead and place the order. Do not give anyone your bank account details or pay by bank transfer. Use PayPal facilities where there is protection if it all goes wrong. They will refund the money, but only if you stick to their rules. Using your debit and or your credit card is safe. If the item is greater than £100, it's better to use a credit card, as Section 75 will protect you if it all goes wrong. Gift cards. Unsuspecting victims are approached and persuaded to buy vouchers to receive government grant to pay bills, fees or debts using gift cards or vouchers. These contacts are made by phone, call or text, and they claim to be a government agency, a utility company, for example, saying you won a prize but there are fees to pay first, and that's when they get your bank details. Gift cards can only be redeemed at the stores mentioned on the cards. Have nothing to do with it. Hang up and block the number. Pension and investment fraud. This is where emails, letters, junk mail and texts are sent out speculatively to people saying they can offer fantastic rates of interest on investments. If you are unsure, then ask an independent financial advisor, your bank or family friend, who you know is up to date with such matters. Never, ever go it alone. Banking protocol. Banking protocol is a UK-wide legislation, and it means staff in financial institutions may ask you questions when you move your money. This might be when you're paying it in, withdrawing it, or paying someone. They may ask these questions by law and they will record your response. The aim is to protect you and to make sure you are staying up to date with expected transactions on your account and you are not being duped into money laundering. Courier fraud is when a fraudster contacts you by telephone purporting to be a police officer or a bank official asking you to confirm some personal details that would be easy to find out, such as your name and address. The fraudster may then give you a phone number to call. The phone number is meant to reassure you that this is a genuine case and not a scam. If you call the number, It's answered by another fraudster who pretends to be someone else. This would never happen. No police officer or bank official would ask you to do this. If you have given your bank details over the phone or handed your card to a courier, call your bank straight away and cancel your card. Money laundering. This is where you are contacted by someone who gains your trust and asks if you would allow them to transfer money into your account for them, and they will pay you to do so. At some point later, they will ask you to transfer some or all of it into another bank account for them. That money would become clean as a result, but by doing this, you have unwittingly committed an offence yourself, and you also could be prosecuted while the perpetrator gets away with it. Never get involved in money matters with someone you do not know. Rogue traders. This is where bogus tradesmen who are fraudsters will knock on your door to try and sell you goods or services. For example, a new roof, a new driveway, a survey, an ex-convict going straight, or charity collections. They will use clever tactics to pressurise you into buying for them. They will use false ID cards or contact information, making it impossible to identify or contact them. If you have paid them in advance, you will not get your money back. Tell them you're closing the door and you will phone the police if they don't go away, and do so if they don't. And the number to ring in that case would be 999. Romance fraud. This is a huge problem and causes a lot of distress and huge anxiety. It concerns dating and social media sites where consenting relationships develop over time. It gives many people a reason for living, and that is good, but there are many people who pretend to be someone they are not. The relationship moves away from the website when email addresses, home addresses, and mobile phone numbers are exchanged. The victim is asked to send money to them on the understanding it will be paid back once they get together. This will not happen. As soon as they start asking for money, break all contact. The person you are speaking to is not the person you think they are. Talk to family and friends about the new relationship. Ask for their advice. Once the penny drops and all their money has gone, people feel ashamed of themselves and do not share anxiety with anyone. This can and does lead to very serious consequences for the victim. Identity theft. Identity fraud is when your personal details are stolen and used to commit fraud. This happens when a fraudster has access to enough information about someone's identity, which includes name, date of birth, home address and phone number, and more, such as bank account numbers, credit card numbers. If you become a victim of this type of fraud, it can have an impact on your personal finances, such as difficulty obtaining loans, credit cards, or even a mortgage, until the matter is resolved. Once they have this information, they are able themselves to open up bank accounts, get credit cards, get loans, state benefits, and order goods in your name. They could even take out mobile phone contracts and obtain genuine documents such as passports and driving licenses in your name. Never share information with people you don't know. Which the magazine does an excellent scam reporting, and you can get that on www.which.uk/consumer-rights/scams. If you want to report a crime, then you can do so to Action Fraud, and their number is 0300 123 2040. I hope the information I have provided has been useful to you all. I appreciate that much of the content will seem quite scary, but I can assure you all that if you follow the advice and take the necessary precautions, you will be safe. Two things to remember. Your mum and dad told you this. Don't talk to strangers. And secondly, if something seems too good to be true, then it probably is. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your time, and stay safe.